Number 17.
Above TopSecret.com and the Deny Ignorance broadcast affiliates are proud to bring you The Skeptic Overview, the one and only show with that champion of truth, free expression, troll-free discussion boards, and great big band hammers. The hero, the legend, The Skeptic Overlord.
Well, hello again, everyone. This is, of course, The Skeptic Overlord coming to you from the center of the universe, Midtown Manhattan. Good evening. It's a rare Monday Skeptic Overview, December 12th. Springer has kept me a little too occupied trying to get our 2 out of 3 Amigos podcast going. So here I am on Monday doing The Skeptic Overview. It's a special edition of sorts. I'll be covering the finalists in the Best Conspiracy Podcast Competition, showing the top entries as voted by our members. So we'll play a little bit of each and let everyone see who made it to the top of the heap, so to speak. Also, a little bit of information about some board business coming your way. And as always, the much looked after What the Overlord Thinks.
Above Top Secret Podcasting Review.
As I mentioned, we're going to have a sneak peek at the finalists in the AboveTopSecret.com Best Podcast Conspiracy Contest. And we have actually 8 finalists. I know we promised that we'd pick, 5? But as it turned out, from a statistical standpoint, we have 8 because there was a four-way tie for that number 5 position, and then the nearest votes after that were somewhat low. So really, based on your votes, it does make sense to have 8 finalists. And what I'm going to do is play these in chronological order so that there's no guessing as to which of these received the highest number of votes. And there's some really, well, they're all very good. But you'll hear, in some cases, there's a bit more focus on conspiracy theory on some of these than the others. And that might clue you in as to how we're going to guess or judge the finalists. It might end up being a guest as your panelists, the three amigos and a couple select super moderators try to find which of these 8 deserve the award of a iPod Nano. So I have about the first 2 minutes, give or take, of each of the podcasts. So sit back. Some of these may sound familiar to you. And if they don't, what's wrong? You haven't been listening to the podcast. And from a chronological standpoint, it is no surprise that the first entry was the much-loved and heralded Magic.
This is Magic at AboveTopSecret.com commenting on the topic of the Oklahoma suicide bomber. If you haven't heard about the story already, that's because it's being spiked by the national media. You can find out about this story by reading the local student newspaper and from a few other sources. And there have been a few articles that have been pushed out and repeated over the Associated Press and maybe some others. But by and large, the story of a person, I mean, what officials are acknowledging is a suicide bomber in the state of Oklahoma who detonated a bomb 100 yards from a stadium with more than 84,000 people packed into it. And this is not somehow a matter for national attention. If you look on CNN, look on Fox News, look on MSNBC, look on all the major outlets, USA Today, they've carried like 1 or 2 stories on this. And this happened on Saturday, and I'm doing this podcast on Tuesday. So in the past 3 days, we haven't heard much at the national level, and a lot of people aren't even aware that this happened. Let me just share just an objective statement of what has been officially confirmed on this story, and then you decide if you think this is a story that wouldn't be of national interest. We know that on Saturday night, just before halftime, 100 yards away from the stadium at the University of Oklahoma in Norman, Oklahoma, a student there, an engineering student, was killed when a bomb detonated that he was believed to be carrying. Okay? So 100 yards away from a packed stadium with over 84,000 people, we know for a fact that a student of that university died during an explosion of a bomb. And this isn't somehow national news? I don't care what the background is, just those facts alone. I mean, there's some stories that are being carried in favor of this one on the national beat that just don't cut the mustard compared to this. This is a suicide bombing, by definition, a suicide bombing on U.S. soil. And this isn't a scoop? This isn't something for the national media?
So that first entry in of the few that we're going to run through from Magic inspired a very long pod thread, a lot of great replies there, and was a very interesting topic. Next, it was an entry in the contest from Yarkofin, and it is a podcast entry designed specifically for the best podcast, best conspiracy podcast contest here. And just a rather interesting topic, somewhat entertaining, but also some really good conspiracy undertones here.
Hello, everyone. This is Yarko Finn coming to you with a podcast via AboveTopSecret.com. Now, normally I'm pretty logical and skeptical, but today I thought I'd step out of the boundaries and into the conspiracy topics. I'd like to discuss one of the conspiracies that I've noticed and created in my own life. It's the idea of they. Now, I have on occasion heard other people use this term, but I'm not sure if they apply the same meaning to it as I do. So who are they? Well, I like to imagine them as being men in suits similar to the typical men in black, only with a different purpose. As far as I can tell, their main mission is to steal the ideas and interests of myself and my friends. Usually for the purpose of creating clever marketing ploys, from what I've seen. Yes, I know it sounds, well, completely insane, but it's a theory that lends well to a lot of strange occurrences. Besides, conspiracy theories are supposed to be a little off the wall, right? But every time I start dismissing the theory, something else happens. Like yesterday, I was talking to my friend and they struck again. There's a commercial running right now for Kingdom of Hearts with the tagline, "Without faith there can be no future." And last year my friend wrote a book with the line, "Without hope there is no future." Now he can back this up. There's been a teacher who's read this book, I've read it, and a number of other people. And I feel they're just blatantly ripping it off. Who's ripping it off? They are. Now how would they go about doing this? Well, there's a number of ways that they may be obtaining our information. Whether as simple as going through my garbage, or secretly watching or listening in, or maybe something as crazy as reading our minds. But before you shut this off thinking I'm just completely insane, let me give you another example from a few years back. I was sitting in the school library with my friend, bored and doodling some random pictures. I drew a picture of a typical gray alien riding a surfboard, and then I drew something else. A cow with super soakers hooked up to its udders with big goggles on. At the end of class, I thought nothing of it and just pitched the paper into the garbage pail. Now I thought that would be the end of it, but no. A week or two later, a commercial aired for a new product called Kellogg's Milk Crunch. In this commercial, there was a rather extreme cow named Uter, with super soakers attached to its udders, just like what I had drawn.
So I guess the larger conspiracy in that podcast is what is being pumped into his school's air system, where Yarkofin is drawing pictures of cows with super soakers attached to their udders. That's ridiculous. But it received into enough votes to be considered as a finalist. So certainly at least an entertaining entry. Next up is an entry from Agent Smith, and the first of two parts of an interview that he recorded with Apollo 16 astronaut Charlie Duke. So let's have a listen.
This is an Agent Smith podcast for AboveTopSecret.com. Hi, a very short introduction from me for tonight's podcast. It's basically a lecture recorded last weekend of Charlie Duke, who was on the Apollo 16 lunar mission. It's a very interesting lecture. This is part one of two, so I hope you all enjoy it as much as we did. Thank you.
Right, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Dave Schneider of Astro Info Service. I'd like you to introduce you to your speaker this afternoon, Charlie Duke. Can I ask anybody who's got a mobile phone, please turn them off so we're not interrupted during Charlie's talk. I'd like to introduce Charlie Duke to you. Charlie was selected for the NASA astronaut program in April 1966 in the fifth group of astronauts, and during preparing for his flight, he was in support role of a variety of things, including sorting out some of the technical difficulties on the Saturn V development. He was also a CAPCOM on Apollo 10 during the phase of the descent orbit simulation in May 1969, and also he was landing CAPCOM for Apollo 11, and then he became backup lunar module pilot for Apollo 13, flying to the moon, landing on the moon, and becoming the 10th man to walk on the moon on Apollo 16 before backing up Apollo 17.
So the quality of the, as you can tell, of the interview, the audio quality there isn't, fantastic. However, it is worth the time to sit and focus and listen to both parts of the lecture. Some great information there. Just stick the headphones on, and the longer you listen, you get 1 or 2 minutes into it. You get used to the background noise, and you can really hear clearly the voices in the lecture, and it is an excellent piece. Coming up next, the intrepid Mr. Whoopi replies to a Zed show on the topic of Bigfoot.
This is Mr. Whoopi coming to you with an AboveTopSecret.com podcast in reply to the Zed show. All I can say, my friend, is, well, first off, welcome back to podcasting. That was a really, really good podcast. I enjoyed it, especially the talk about Bigfoot. As far as I'm concerned, you're singing to the choir, because I've seen one myself. You know, it wasn't between no tent either. I saw one with my own eyes. Actually, I've told this story several times on ATS. About every time the subject comes up, I repeat it, but I've never told the story in a podcast. And at the end of your podcast, you said, "What do you think?" And that's when I decided, okay, I will put this down in a podcast. What happened to me, I live in Arkansas, and I had my children, and I had to take them back to their moms. And she lived in Jonesboro, I lived in Fayetteville. So I drove them that day over to Jonesboro, which is a pretty good little clip across the top of the state. Dropped them off, and I was heading back. It was that night, and I suppose it was about 9 o'clock at night. I'd passed through a little town called Salem, Arkansas, and I'd headed right back into the Ozark National Forest. And I was driving through the forest. I was the only car on the highway, had my bright lights on, windows were up, and I was the only car on the highway. Up ahead, there, the highway and the forest, there was probably about a 15-20 foot clearing between the highway and between the edge of the highway and where the forest started. You know, there was a good little embankment there. And I'm just driving down the road, minding my own little business, just, you know, listening to the radio.
So our favorite podcaster, our second favorite, at least podcaster, Mr. Whoopi, had a person-to-person experience with Bigfoot. He's not, as we know, the only member to have that distinct pleasure, I suppose. And also, Mr. Whoopi has the distinction of having two of his podcasts voted into the top eight finalists. This next one, he contemplates if we are really indeed the Borg.
This is Mr. Whoopi coming to you with an AboveTopSecret.com podcast titled "We Are the Borg." And I realized this today because of something that happened at work. I was sitting there at my desk in my little office, just typing away on my computer, happily turning a mountain of paperwork into yesterday's memory, you know, and going along, and
all of a sudden my computer stopped working. Just went down. Lost connection. And I didn't know what to do. I looked at it and, you know, sat there and looked around and looked at the walls a minute and looked back at the computer and punched some keys, and all I'm getting these little error messages across the bottom. And it just, I was baffled. And the next moment, the guy in the next office over sticks his head in my office and says, "Is your computer working?" I don't even know. And he took off down the hall. You know, "Is your computer working?" "No." "Is your computer working?" "No." And it was odd. And I sat there, so after a moment or two, I got up, and I walked over and walked out my door, and there were people gathering in the hallway. And I was wondering, who the hell are these people? I mean, I know them all, okay? But I communicate with them through emails, instant messages. We sit in meetings together. I listen to them. They listen to me. But I don't know them. I mean, it's not like we have conversations, you know. I have no idea who their children are. And after a slight panic attack, I went back and I sat down on my desk, looked at my cute computer again, and rebooted. As it started to come up, you know, I started getting something called a WinSock error. It was freaking me out. You know, I was afraid I was going to have to go start talking to these people. And I go over and I look out, and they're still all out there in the hallway.
Mr. Whoopi, you can count on Mr. Whoopi for a podcast full of chucks and giggles and worth the listen. And it also, as have all of the podcasts in the finalists here, inspired a interesting pod thread. And for those of you who are listening to this who don't know what the hell a pod thread is, we have an Above Top Secret, a way for members to reply to podcasts with a podcast, thus creating a pod thread. And the pod threads have their own RSS feed, so it's quite an interesting thing. Next up, the probably one of the top five most prolific. I haven't looked at the counts, but just, you know, by a gut reaction as to how often we see her podcast, Sophie Crow, with a submission where she talks about bird flu and some of the issues related. So let's have a listen to Sophie Crow.
I'm Sophie Crow, and this is the Sophie Crow Radio Show, coming to you from above topsecret.com with an ATS podcast. You don't know what you got till it's gone. Today's show is called Bird Flu. Why worry now?
The corporate solution.
Scientists have been warning us about superbugs and super plagues for 50 years, but the super plague never came. So why should we listen?
50 years ago, it was evident that we were facing an evolutionary crisis.
In 1959, Dr. J. E. Wilson, from the veterinary laboratory in Lasswade, Scotland, sent a chicken with H5N1 bird flu to Addlestone, where the strain was isolated and used for experiments. That was 46 years ago. Dr. Wilson has since disappeared. There is no record of his existence, except at the Lasswade Laboratory.
Corporate conspiracy. The critical point was reached in 1997, the point of self-organizing criticality. By 2001, the scientific proof was absolutely undeniable.
Economic destabilization, the corporate strategy.
Since the 1980s, the list of diseases that have hitchhiked directly from animals to people has grown rapidly. Hantavirus, SARS, monkeypox, and most recently, avian influenza, commonly called bird flu.
Corporate solution.
The critical point occurred in 1997. This point would be called self-organized criticality in complexity theory. This biological point is the one that microbiologists have been warning us about for 50 years.
In 1997, two long-predicted events finally happened.
two very scary new diseases appeared in the world. Population reduction. The corporate solution.
So, obviously, Sophie Crow has some issues with corporations. no, but another good submission from Sophie Crow in her continuing series of podcasts with typically a focus on the fragile earth topics throughout ATS. So, another worthy submission into the final eight. And now down to the last two, chronologically speaking, that is. Dose X responded to Sophie Crow's bird flu, Why Worry Now, with another unique podcast and not responding in thread style because it does take a different spin on Sophie's Crow's topic. So let's have a listen to Economics and Plagues by Dose X.
Hey, this is Deus Ex coming to you from AboveTopSecret.com with a podcast entitled Bird Flu and Why You Should Worry. I was listening to Sophie Crow today, and she brought up some good points about avian flu, but that really doesn't bother me too much with modern super drugs and whatnot. We can keep the mortality rates down. It's not that big of an issue. What I'm more concerned about is the economic impact. Let's say, for example, I'll throw out some random round numbers, that 30% of American case, let's pick on America for now, say 30% of the American workforce gets too sick to work. What happens? Yeah, that's right. The economy goes into a depression, and in addition to dealing with the strain on the healthcare system, you have to deal with the strain on the welfare system, because everyone's going to want workers' comp. They can't live on bread, and, well, they can live on bread, but they can't live on air. And think about all those small businesses. Down the street from me, there's a family-run Chinese restaurant, and it's got maybe 4 employees. Now, what happens if 3 of them get sick for 2 weeks, 3 weeks? 4 weeks, what happens if, you know, the older woman gets laid out in hospital, you know, her family has to pay the bills, in addition to not having the store open because there's no one to cook, there's no one to run the front, there's no one to deliver the food. You know, there'll be a massive economic drain should any sort of pandemic hit.
So a different take on concerns over bird flu pandemic, which is just as valid as the issues related to the mortality rate, and perhaps in some cases from a long-term perspective, more of a serious consideration that apparently isn't being considered by those planning for containment of the bird flu. So finally, the eighth installment in the finalists for the ATS podcast contest, the best conspiracy podcast, is from Imperium Americana, and he is replying to Mr. Whoopi's We Are the Borg. So let's have a listen to Imperium Americana.
Well, this is my reply to Mr. Whoopi's Borg threads and the sundry replies. I have a little bit different perspective because it tends to be my phone that rings when the computer goes down with people calling in and freaking out with the, "Oh my God! My computer shut down!" And then it's normally my job to go in and figure out how exactly they screwed it up. And, you know, deal with the typical, "You done yet?" or "I need my computer back soon. Is this going to take long?" It's like, you know, just because it took you 2 seconds to screw it up doesn't mean it's going to take me 2 seconds to fix it. And I have seen firsthand the, what we like, I like to call the sheep without a shepherd syndrome, which is the moment, as you said, the IT infrastructure goes down, suddenly everybody has no concept of what they're doing. And I always wonder, what would these people do if there wasn't any technology? Like, 20, 30 years ago, there's not this IT and support environment with the electronics and, you know, the computers and voicemail and blah, 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 blah. what would do these people do these jobs back then? And they've just it's the same jobs before, and you know, the salespeople, especially salespeople. I think half the time the salespeople flip out because their computers go down because they can't check their email and chat with their friends. Because it seems like every time I go into someone's office, it's got like spades or hearts or some instant messenger up, some media player, they're watching a DVD. I've yet to walk in and see someone's computer go down, and the people are actually doing work, like a word processor program or ACT or, you know, some sort of customer database system is open. Now, it's always fun and games for these people. I don't understand. And they're the ones, by the way, the salespeople that don't stand around with anything to do, they all take off and go get, you know, have drinks and go eat, or, oh, I got to go meet with those clients, so I can't be here. I feel sorry the most for is the people in production, because, you know, they're trying to get the stuff out, and they need their systems to...
So there you have it, the finalists in the Best Conspiracy Podcast Contest from AboveTopSecret.com. What's going to happen now is the three amigos, myself, Simon Gray, and Springer, along with a hand-picked group of super moderators, will run through these and independently pick our top few favorites. Then we'll compare notes, and from that, hopefully, if all goes well, the top three will emerge, and those will be the winner and the runner-ups displayed on the homepage, and the winner will receive the coveted iPod Nano. I can't guarantee delivery date. We will order the Nano for you as soon as we get your information, but... I guess supplies are kind of short, so you may not get it till January sometime. So please be patient. If you do win, the Nano is indeed in the mail.
What's new at AboveTopSecret.com?
A new thing will be phasing in to Above Top Secret over the next couple weeks. As we get cranked up with a completely new concept, and it appears to be something that we've needed for some time. Myself, the other amigos, and administrators and super moderators have been noticing what amounts to a not really disturbing, but sort of a irritating, I guess is a better word, decline in daily post count. And I know I've mentioned this a couple other times. Now, we're certainly not interested in post count for post count matter. I mean, we really want quality posts. And I think it's clear in the way we manage the board that we're not just looking for, you know, a lot of posts just to make sure we have a lot of posts. That's not where we want to be. But you know, the number of new posts every day is sort of a general barometer or a metric where we gauge, you know, the interest that you have in Above Top Secret. So when we see a significant decline, we start to wonder why. And I'd say over the past 6 months, you know, our average has gone down quite a bit. We'd see averages during the week into the 2800s. And it would drop down below, you know, slightly below 2,000 on the weekends. Well, lately, you know, it's been unusual if we've had a weekday over 2,200 and common to see the weekends drop below 1,500. Now, in retrospect, there were days when we would just, you know, knock ourselves silly celebrating post counts like that. But that's been more than a year ago. Almost a couple years ago, and there's certainly a lot of boards that would just die for activity like that. But still, that's not how ATS used to be not too long ago. And in troubleshooting this issue, we've uncovered what could be something, and it appears as though in some areas, especially the hardcore conspiracy areas. And the areas of extraterrestrials and paranormal topics, we aren't quite on the leading edge of our genre as we used to be. We're certainly on the leading edge in things dealing with current politics and political scandals and the Bush administration and the war on terrorism. All of the conspiracy topics that surround that, we really do seem to be on the leading edge. But the more fringe topics, we're not quite in tune with a lot of other websites. Very often we'll be talking about things that have cropped up maybe a month or two after we see them someplace else. And by that time, sort of the discussion elsewhere has already run its course, and our members really haven't had the chance to dig into some of these topics. So we've appointed one of our administrators to a new duty, to be the editor-in-chief of the AboveTopSecret.com discussion board. The new role will place some increased responsibility to find these important topics, maybe find people to bring over for a podcast interview, or find people to include in our special guest forum as a guest speaker, or outright interviews, and bring this content to Above Top Secret in a more timely way, especially these fringe topics. And who better to be in charge of being on top of making sure we're talking about these fringe topics in a timely way, but our administrator extraordinaire, William Onesap. Yes. So Mr. Onesap will be appointing a staff of editors under him to sort of scour the web for these topics and possibly even find some of our own members that might have interesting stories along these lines and sort of bring that to the surface. Also, as some of you may have noticed, Thomas Crown, our other administrator, is in the news, literally in the news on AboveTopSecret.com this week. Thomas is taking over oversight of Above Top Secret News Network. And hopefully, finally, we'll find something for Thomas to do. He's just been sitting idle, twiddling his thumbs in the back room here at ATS. We've had to put him in the sub-basement and take his stapler away because there's really nothing for Thomas to do. So hopefully, now that he has an assignment, he will stay clear of certain tricky buttons in the control panels and guide the news network towards new heights. So, Thomas, good luck, and I'm glad it's you and not me.
What the Overlord thinks.
So, in my browsing about and paying attention to some of the other podcasts out there, a very aggressively promoted podcast is gaining attention, not so much because of its content, but because of its incredibly aggressive techniques. And they have included, in some cases, some pretty nasty, if anything, verbal extortion against Adam Curry, the Podfather himself, and some of the people and owners of Podcast Alley, the discussion board over there. The podcast in question is Goyfire, of all things, a very hateful group, and along the lines of the white supremacists we've seen. And if you have been active on ATS for more than a year, you'll certainly remember at least two incidents where we have been infiltrated in an organized way by one of these groups. I believe it was Stormfront. Yes, the Stormfronters. The white supremacists who just are idiots and freaks trying to infiltrate the board and spread their crap throughout our posts. If you listen to these people, it really is just incredible. The verbal or the verbal masturbation really is what they're engaged in. They're just enjoying each other's hate and just getting off on that, which is an incredible thing to witness, I guess. And this caused me to think back and recall a conspiracy angle to some of this, And I'm not going to get into a lot. This really isn't much of an Overlord thing. It's sort of a preview of what's coming up. But obviously, if you've known me, if you've watched what I post, there's few things I hate more than hate. if that's the best way to put it, these people really, really, really piss me off. And not so much for what they've done in trying to cause problems on ATS, but just for the very way that they think and try to use freedom of speech, something that I cherish very much, freedom of expression, as a way to spew their hatred and force others to allow them to spew their hatred, which is what they've done in the case of PodcastAlley.com. So we will be investigating this because there has been a conspiracy angle to organized racism that began some time ago, and it predates the internet, at least the organized internet, beginning, let's say, in about 97, when we started to see a lot of organized discussion boards appear. Back then, my best recollection is of like 92 or 93, one of the more popular racists of the time, David Duke. It came out, and I believe it was through an independent newspaper, and I want to think something out of Seattle or Portland. It definitely was West Coast in origin, where he was receiving support from an alphabet group, and it could have been the CIA, but it may have been some other covert black budget group, and it came out, and he sort of went into not so much hide him, he sort of faded into the background, back into the verbal masturbation with his cohorts in hate, and stayed out of the limelight for a little while. But this is a conspiracy topic, sort of an old school topic, which circled conspiracy theory discussion 12 or 15 years ago in various areas. And we're going to do some research and bring this topic back. And sooner or later, it will be either in a 2 out of 3 Amigos podcast or a special podcast devoted to the conspiracy of racism. So that about does it for Skeptic Overview number 17. Already up to 17 on these. Isn't that interesting? The time flies. We've had a lot of podcasts on AboveTopSecret.com in the past almost 4 months that podcasting has been available. 938 podcasts and just about 2.4 gigabytes of content. That's just amazing. So thank you, everyone, for embracing podcasting. We will be announcing the grand prize winner of the Best Conspiracy Theory Podcast Contest shortly. I can't promise how long it will take. We do want to make sure that we will pick the appropriate winner. So it'll take a few days, but it's not going to take more than a week as we go through our deliberations. So thanks again for listening. Keep posting at AboveTopSecret.com, and most definitely keep podcasting and keep listening to the podcasts of our members.